In the Bible, a strange image is painted when describing the events of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden account, Samael, the angel of Mars, is said to have rode the serpent as the angel of death, playing a part in corrupting Adam and Eve, the first earthly human beings. The serpent in this context represents the Luciferian impulse, or in Anthroposophy, the Luciferic infection. In these earlier developmental periods, the Luciferic impulse moved through the earth, creating confusion and chaos within human consciousness. Lucifer, in this context, represents mental energy, or lower manas, or knowledge that is unmitigated and accelerated to a point of imbalance. Lucifer does not represent perfected higher knowledge, nor knowledge in general, but rather the first spark of mind. All individuals must learn to balance the Luciferic impulse through developing the will and even higher organs and faculties through the Christ impulse within themselves. Samael here in the Garden of Eden myth obviously represents Mars, or in esoteric science, the Mars developmental scheme of our solar system. In spiritual science, the Earth is not a closed system, but rather receives forces and at times even waves of souls from other planetary spheres in the solar system. In this way, the solar system is more like a school for souls, or a system of initiation for souls. Earth, as the most dense material body in the solar system school, is thus a point of consolidation in our solar system. Thus, many descriptions of the planetary regents, or planetary angels, interacting with the Earth in earlier texts, refer to the organization of karma between certain spheres in our system. And Mars and Earth have a deep karmic relationship, a relationship that we will come to know very well in the next 1,000 years. In fact, our ability to understand the Mars impulse will define our earthly development moving forward. To understand the Mars impulse and the role that Mars, or Samael, has played, we have to draw our focus to the period between Lemuria and Atlantis. At this time, while the Earth was still in a quasi-physical etheric condition, a strange event occurred. Human beings from the Mars scheme of development in the solar system appeared on Earth on what is now the Antarctic continent. The Antarctic continent was, at the time, spiritually overlapping with the Mars sphere, which acted as a polar north during that period. Why this situation of the arrival of the Martians is unique is because the Martians defied natural order to arrive on the Earth. You see, in Lemuria and during Atlantis, beings from other planetary schemes would enter into the earthly world through spiritual means, namely a kind of reverse transubstantiation, or they would perform a spiritual sacrifice to enter into the earthly plane. The process of transubstantiation is an internal and natural means of earthly manifestation or natural materialization on the earth from higher planes. The reality that angelic beings from other spheres had to perform a sacrifice or offer a part of their own being to manifest on the earth meant that they were personally bonded to humanity and the planet. What happened to humanity or to the Earth happened to them, personally. To harm humanity was to equally harm themselves. This union is a key aspect of humanity's relationship with the angelic hierarchies, and thus our own evolution within the hierarchy and as part of it. The union between humanity and higher angels is the basis of all spiritual initiation, all spiritual development. The Martians did not do this. They did not sacrifice anything of themselves into the earthly plane. Instead, they entered the earth through external means. They developed a technology that created a black sun or black hole and entered into our earthly developmental scheme that way. As they did not sacrifice anything of themselves to enter the earthly plane, they had no natural union with humanity and were not part of the earthly life wave. It should be observed here that the Earth was not physical as we know it at this time, the period between Lemuria and Atlantis. This means that conventional ideas of physics do not apply, though efforts to recreate this technology is important to certain groups that have come to worship the Black Sun, or rather become possessed by the Abyss. This external means of entry into the Earth plane was successful. Human beings that were of the Mars sphere came to the Earth. However, upon their entry into the Earth plane, incredible problems began to emerge. Not being of the Earth, the Martians were unable to truly exist on the Earth. Their bodies and consciousness were not compatible. All beings born on the Earth through the earthly human body are of the Earth. They are part of its matter and template and can thus exist on it naturally. The Mars humans were unable to exist naturally, as their form and consciousness was of a Mars origin. Further, Earth had a significantly more diverse environment that was to become much heavier and coarser than Mars would over time. This drove them to continually modify themselves with technology in attempts to survive. Thus, the planet Mars is where the transhumanist impulse stems from. It is from the Mars impulse that arrived here through the Mars humans just before the Atlantean continent solidified. Suffice to say that the Martians desperately needed an earthly body, or to enter the earthly human life wave. So, they were forced to mate with the only living female creatures they could find, which were not human females, but rather an ape-like human animal that populated that aspect of the Earth after the fall of Lemuria. They were the fallen Lemurian animal human, not the genuine human of the Earth, which contained no animal aspects. The animal-human female that fell during Lemuria, Eden, is represented by Lilith, and Samael, or Mars, is traditionally marked as Lilith's consort. This is an allegorical image of the Mars impulse and the Martians and their saga in earlier days of humanity's development, particularly the Martians' repeated attempts to enter the earthly life wave and enter the human form through breeding. The Martians' reason for coming to the Earth was to escape cataclysms. They had destroyed their planet, making them helpless refugees with no ability to return home, a far cry from the powerful alien god ideologies that paint them as gods and creators of mankind. Since this period, Lemuria and Atlantis, in their most complete form, they now reside in the shallow cavern systems of the Earth. They took refuge there as wholly deformed and degenerate beings by the fall of Atlantis. By this period, they looked inhuman and had spawned countless chimeras and androids from their deteriorating genetics. They proved to be a vicious and parasitic influence on humanity, bringing about the worst aspects of technology and black magic. They were perpetually trying to survive by forcing themselves into the natural genetic line of earthly human beings. This is the root of the many accounts of fallen angels taking human wives. Thus, since this time, there has been a perpetual battle between the fallen Mars forces who seek to parasitically live off the Earth and humanity, and higher spiritual forces that seek to liberate humanity from this fallen, materialistic, and quite frankly, satanic existence. It should be observed that the Martians are not aliens. They were fallen angels that forced their way into the human line, and the fallen Mars impulse is now within humanity at large. No being in the solar system or cosmos at large is an alien. All planets are parallel developmental systems that can be understood and known through esoteric science. Unfortunately, many people have been tricked by these fallen beings and the people that have come to represent them on the planet. They now reside within the cavern systems of the Earth, and people believe that they are alien gods. Their advanced technologies have tricked unsuspecting people and seduced certain secret societies to think that they are more powerful than they are. They use the only thing they have, their technology, which many people think is magic or spiritual power. But they use it to manipulate and control those on the surface. And most of all, the people who have entered into a spiritual covenant with them for worldly power. Today, the talk about colonizing Mars and uncovering the secrets of Mars' sister location on the Earth, Antarctica, is simply a recapitulation of this earlier pattern. The same pattern is repeating in a slightly different expression. If we want to confront what's coming, we have to get ahead of it. We must understand what occurred in the period between Lemuria and Atlantis when the Martians arrived on the Earth. This story has been kept by certain secret societies who actually identify as the Martians and have been receiving technology from them. Ultimately, they seek to pick up where they left off in Atlantis and recreate the technological control grid that they created at that time, using the same technology, even including many of the same parts that were stowed away in the cavern systems in the Earth. The same pattern, the same people, the same souls is simply repeating again. How will we fare this time?
There is, however, another theory. The Bermuda Triangle is not the only area in which navigators have been troubled by the odd behavior of magnetic compasses. As every school child knows, something strange happens to your magnetic compass as you voyage into the Earth's polar regions. Scientists have turned to space, to the upper atmosphere, even to the sun, to account for this magnetic anomaly. But responsible reports suggest a greater mystery. A large concentration of UFO sightings in the Arctic and Antarctic has led some experts to speculate that these regions may serve as landing bases for extraterrestrial craft. It's even been suggested that the flying saucers, in fact, emerge from and re-enter the Earth's interior by polar doorways, and at the center of our planet is their true place of origin. In 1947, Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd, in command of the U.S. Navy Task Force, flew 1,700 miles beyond the North Pole, not as would be expected over frozen icy wastes, But across a vast land of mountains, freshwater lakes, rivers, green vegetation, and animal life, a land not recorded on any map. From the evidence provided by Admiral Byrd and other famous explorers of the Arctic and the Antarctic, it has been suggested that the Earth is not, as we have been taught, a solid sphere with a fiery center of molten metal, but is in fact a hollow shell in which a small amount of the original fire remains to form a central sun capable of emitting light and of supporting plant growth. It has even been claimed that the huge mammoths found frozen in the polar ice are not prehistoric, but were animals from the Earth's hollow interior that wandered to the surface and froze to death. Proponents of this theory estimate that the Earth's crust is approximately 800 miles thick, with openings at its polar extremities. They suggest that Admiral Byrd and other explorers actually entered the openings leading to the Earth's interior without knowing it. These explorers assumed that they were still traversing the outer surface because the downward slope of the entrance is so gradual and because they could not see the other side of the opening, which is hundreds of miles away. Almost to a man, scientists ridicule the hollow Earth theory. They will tell you that the only hollow spaces anywhere near the poles are located in the heads of those who believe in the theory. And yet, a number of disquieting questions remain unanswered. How then do we account for the warming effect, the presence of increasingly warm winds as one travels north beyond 70 degrees latitude? Why do these winds carry enormous quantities of black dust? Why does colored pollen stain the snow red, green, and yellow over thousands of square miles of the Arctic? Why are all icebergs composed of fresh water? And why do explorers find tropical seeds and plants and even trees floating in the fresh water off these icebergs? Where do all these things come from? Well, the answer to these questions is obvious to anyone who believes in the existence of an unexplored region hidden in the Earth's interior. But the hollow Earth theory is not limited to this planet. In his book, A Journey to the Earth's Interior, Marshall B. Gardner discusses the bright lights seen shining from the polar caps of Mars, Venus, and Mercury. Concludes that these planets also have hollow interiors and central suns. According to Gardner, the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, result from the rays of that central sun inside the Earth, projected through the polar opening into the night sky. Now, before we join in the laughter of scientists at these notions, we should remember that 100 years ago, the world's most prominent astronomers staked their reputations on the fact that rocks did not fall from the sky. Today, these rocks are called meteorites. Science, like any living thing, must grow. Now, one of the crucial new questions for scientists is how to travel through deep space. Are there cosmic arteries, openings maybe in the fabric of the space-time continuum? In the past, man ascribed immortality to the stars. But now we know that, like ourselves, stars are born, grow old, and eventually die. At the end of their lifetime, stars only a little heavier than our sun suddenly blaze up in a supernova explosion, becoming giant galactic flares that collapse into white dwarfs and then eventually burn out to become black dwarfs, each about the size of the Earth. If the star is somewhat heavier, it will collapse to a much smaller and far more compressed neutron star about 10 miles in diameter. But what happens to stars at least three times the size of our sun? Those which do not reach a quiet old age as a neutron or dwarf star. Scientists believe that the collapse of these enormous stars is so powerful that once it begins, nothing can ever stop it. They continue to shrink until the gravitational field surrounding them is so strong it becomes completely closed off from the rest of space. Nothing that enters this region can ever escape, not even light. And so these stars become invisible black holes in the fabric of space. Stars that have blinked out and died, yet are still there, exercising a devastating effect on every particle of matter that enters their gravitational fields. Where gravity is so intense, it warps space, imprisons light, halts time. Astronomers are now speculating about the possibilities of huge rotating black holes in which the tremendous distortion of time and space is so extreme as to generate a passageway to another world. A future astronaut plunging down a rotating black hole could perhaps never return or communicate again with our world. But he might emerge in a different time, a different corner of the universe, or perhaps even a different universe. And it's not so unlikely that an advanced technological civilization could have overcome the hazards of black hole travel, harnessed their power to voyage through time as well as through space. In his stunning book, The Cosmic Connection, astronomer Carl Sagan imagines for us a federation of societies in the galaxy that have established a black hole rapid transit system in which a vehicle is rapidly routed through an interlaced network of black holes to that black hole nearest to its destination.